Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, September the 23rd, 2024. And joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm well. Well, Captain.
You sound chipper for a Monday morning, doesn't he, Ed?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
Wow, that's you just showed me your empty cup of coffee, and now this explains a lot.
Oh, man.
I don't know how, like Steve, for example, does not drink coffee. Neither does Chad, and I just don't know. I mean, the rest of us are all powered
about
by
Steve Jordahl and
yes,
Chad Grohn.
Chad Grohn, right. The rest of us, you know, they're fueled by the Holy Spirit, and we're all running on Java.
If you can say that if you'd like, that's what fuels them.
I'm also saved, and I know the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know what I'm going
through. Yeah.
I pulled a Biden.
Is this a theological deep dive we're doing here?
I don't think it was very deep.
Oh, no. Okay. Just wonder what was going on here. I missed something. All right. So I hope everybody had a nice weekend. We are back from our trip to Williamsburg and Jamestown and Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon with a whole bunch of great people who listen to AFR, many of them.
Yeah, and Steve McDowell, who's president of Stephen.
Yeah, unless you're on a first-name base with him.
Steve-O. Okay. Steve-O McDowell, who's president of the Providence Foundation. He's going to be on with us at 10:45 because AFA is going to have a Boston trip, Freedom Trail.
A year from
that,
now,
a year
October.
From now. And so Stephen is going to be kind of encouraging people. Sometimes people don't know how much there is to see.
Yeah, it's going to be the first time we've taken a group there where we're going to be going a year from now or roughly a year from now to Boston and the surrounding area. It's going to be a great trip and have limited seating, as they say. So we got a few news stories we need to get to today, but then I'm going to have him. And, you know, even if you don't go with us,
right. We're
going to sort of do a travel log of that area because it's so rich in American history.
Right.
You know, having grown up.
Yes. Grew up for the most part across the state line in Nashua, New Hampshire. But we would take school class trips with, history. And three or four times when I was even in elementary school and junior high school.
You remember those?
I do.
All right, spit watch from the back of the bus. Is that what it was?
There was a lot of that stuff going on.
Yeah. Did you go to a Catholic school for some?
That was for high school, all boys Catholic high school.
Okay,
but public school in elementary and junior.
You know, when you think of all boys Catholic high schools,
yes,
which
all what you think is true.
Okay. The nuns are, as they say, just very.
Yeah, no nonsense.
No nonsense. Okay.
And
are they? Do you call them sister or what?
We call them sister.
Okay, sister, whatever.
And then there weren't priests who ran the school. They were brothers. Brothers of the Sacred Heart was the overseeing. I don't know what you call that. Those kind of groups within the Catholic community. But listen, it was all boys. And after I left, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, they went co-ed, which is typical for Vitaglianos, you know, just nothing, you know, never anything good happens. But the only pretty ladies in the school were the lunch ladies. I'm just telling you, it was
all right.
It
so
was
let
tough.
Me ask you this. The sisters at all boys Catholic high school have the reputation for being stern and firm and can absolutely swing a paddle. Is that true?
Well, we didn't get paddled by nuns,
okay,
and we didn't get slapped on the wrist by rulers. That was more, I think, probably for like elementary kids. But they'd holler. They hollered all the time.
Oh, did they?
They yelled. Oh, yeah. And listen, a high school full of teenage boys, the pranks and the goofing around was just endless.
Right. It's just like you might think it was.
It's just like you might. Think it was.
The funny thing is, you don't think of nuns getting in a yelling mode much. Oh, I mean, they use, you know, yeah, thinking about them walking around with their hands in the, yes, the prayer sign,
yes,
and as not yelling at people.
So. And we weren't terrible,
right,
you know, in talking about high
school
boys
on fire or anything like that.
Right. I'll give you one example of something that I did.
Uh-huh.
That we
confess
had
a your sins one to another.
Yes,
that's what it said.
Had a high school an assembly, and we're all standing up, and they would often begin assemblies. One of the brothers would play the guitar, and we'd sing some songs, and so we all stood up, and the kid in front of me, it was all folding chairs, and so I got his folding chair and folded it up and set it off to the side.
Oh, no.
So that when we all sat back down, he just went right
to man.
The, and he was, of course, fighting mad. And I pointed to the guy next to me, my friend. And anyway, so it's those kinds of hijinks.
Right.
The only time I ever
saw... Is he still in a wheelchair, the guy?
No.
Okay.
No, actually, it was stupid.
Joining us now by phone is that guy.
Right. With his lawyer. And there's no statute of limitations.
I did see one of the guys in high school once smart off, as we're all changing classes, smart off to the principal, Brother John.
Oh, man.
And he hauled off and full-on slapped him in the face.
Brother John did?
Yo, yes. Hmm. And I mean, it was assault.
but that didn't matter back then.
Didn't matter back then.
No.
Pow.
Oh, wow.
So.
All right. Well, let's get to the news of the day. A lot going on. We're 5 weeks away from election day. Is that
ish.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is it 5 weeks from tomorrow? Is that right?
Correct. I'm looking up the exact number of days. We are 43 days from Election Day today.
Okay. Well, it can't come soon enough, as far as I'm concerned.
To quote my mother, I'll just be glad when it's over.
Now, we were talking about in our story meeting or one of our meetings this morning. Mondays are big on meetings. Mm-hmm. And someone mentioned, I don't know if it was you or somebody else, it's possible, because you and I are both going, Election Day, please get here. Let
right,
this be over
right.
with. But if it's really close in a couple of states, it could drag on for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
As you know how those things go.
Unfortunately, that's
so
true. Well, that's what happened last time, right? At least wasn't it for a few days?
Yeah, carried over.
Of course, we had the memorable Hanging Chad.
Mm-hmm. That was in 2000?
That was the first election I voted in was 2000.
Hanging Chad? The Hanging Chad, that's in, remember, it all came down to Florida and like 500 votes or something like that.
Dade
and
County.
Gore conceded, and then he took it back, and then it goes to the Supreme Court.
Right.
I remember in that election, the media called Florida for Al Gore before the panhandle was counted.
Right.
And then they had to reverse course.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you read the polls, and the real, as I've referenced before, the Real Clear Politics polls, which is an average of all the polls. That's
right.
That's why I look at those. It's not one individual poll. I mean, it's a virtual tie,
right,
in the swing states or the battleground states, as they call them. Right.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, I'm talking about 1-2 points here, there.
I got it pulled
right,
up
yeah,
here.
Go ahead and read
Georgia.
It. Read it.
Trump is up 2. Pennsylvania, Harris is up 0.7. Michigan, Harris up 0.17. Wisconsin, Harris up 0.1. And then Trump.
What about Arizona, North Carolina?
Arizona, Trump is up 2. And North Carolina, Trump is up 0.4. Trump is up 2.2 in Arizona.
Yeah. So, it's going to all come down to those, what, 7? States or so,
probably.
You would include in that you did include Pennsylvania, Michigan,
Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and then it something else.
I mean, just 50-50, isn't it?
Yeah. North Carolina
in the polls. So let me ask you this question. looking towards Election Day, is there a particular theme you think that Americans are going to the polls to vote on that day? Yeah, I don't know if I'm asking the right question. Is there one? Because I have an idea. The reason I ask this question is so I can answer it myself. This is how this works.
Here's the thing. Some people will vote on ideology above all else. So I'm excluding those people on both sides. Okay. In other words, it doesn't matter how the economy, the border.
Right. No, they're Democrat or they're Republican. That's they're going to vote that way every time.
Right. But for people for whom that's not true, I would have to imagine on the left it might be abortion. But for everyone else, I think it's going to be the economy, and by that I mean inflation, wages, unemployment, the border, and all the nuttiness that is happening coast to coast because of millions of illegal immigrants here in our country. And then I would think crime and maybe energy. Energy might enter into it. You know, in Pennsylvania, they say the issue of fracking is going to be very important. I don't know if it'll decide things or not. So you tell us what you want.
Okay, well, I think more than any other, and people always say that, right, more than any other election, in presidential election in recent history, with the possible exception of 2016 when it was Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, I think this is going to be a I'm voting against election.
Interesting.
I think that this will be, I was going to say it'll be more a referendum on Donald Trump than anything else. And that's probably true, although people could argue, no, it's going to be more a referendum on Kamala Harris than anything else. I don't know how you figure that out exactly, but I just think that I think this will be more of an election of I'm voting against Harris or I'm voting against Trump. More than it will be, man, I'm so excited, pumped.
Oh, yeah.
Vote for Harris. Or I think most of those people, they don't really care who it is. They're going to say.
Now, you're talking about kind of the middle
people in the battleground states, for example. We all know how California and New York are going to vote. We all know how Florida and Texas are going to vote, the four biggest states. But those other states, I just think it'll be a. I don't want Harris or I don't want Trump, and that's therefore I'm voting for whoever's running.
I think that's very interesting because I think that could be because you're going to have people who love Donald Trump on one side, people who think Kamala Harris is a transformative, we're making history kind of candidate.
And there are 80 people like that falling in that category. She's transformative, all right, with the English language.
Yeah.
She can really slice and dice that salad. Huh? Can't she?
It slices, it dices. The Pope.
All right, speaking of which,
salad slicer.
There is the one of the main criticisms of Kamala Harris, the current president, who's running for president. Because Joe Biden,
you think there's a president?
Joe Biden has checked out, and we don't have a president, and we're not going to have one for 4 months. And guess what? Nobody cares.
It's weird, as if this election wasn't already like really interesting enough. That adds another certain something to it. Like we don't have a president, and to your point, nobody really seems to be bothered by that.
Democrats obviously don't care. Republicans don't seem to be making much of an issue of it. Maybe they think it's pointless at this point.
I read something over the weekend that I think clearly lays this out. And this is after one of President Biden, I'll use air quotes, president, had another gaffe. Well, I guess we'll get to it sometime.
Let's go ahead and do that story now.
But I read someone say the system is running the country. Mm-hmm. It's not a person.
Don't autopilot.
It's the system's running. Everyone's
right. Now, if we have some kind of big, major international crisis, which, you know, the world is a tinderbox right now.
Right, sure is.
Then who's in the situation room at the White House with
that
all
makes
the,
a difference, doesn't it?
With all the leaders giving instructions and opinions and directions, and because the Democrats have said. Then we can get to the Democrats have said. They made this clear in June or whenever it was that Joe Biden is unfit to hold the office of the presidency by virtue of his mental decline. Right.
Well, they basically said he's unfit to run for president, which everyone else said, well, then why should he still be in office?
Right.
That's exactly my point right here. So we got that going on. So we don't have a president, and it would seem to me that the Democrats would, if you're going to follow that logic,
right?
That they would say, therefore, we are insisting that Joe Biden resign so that we can have engaged president.
Well, let me give you a frightening scenario here.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of, and then we will get to this.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the frightening scenario. I understand how the government can, in a sense, run itself. Because you got secretaries,
right,
directors of this and that.
Yeah, sure.
And people do their jobs. Okay. But let's say the war in Ukraine takes a crazy turn and Russia uses a tactical nuclear weapon, detonates a tactical nuke inside Ukraine. Okay. Everyone is going to flip out because it's the first use of a nuclear weapon since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Who's going to make the decision at the top of the federal government, the executive branch, to increase
what our response would be?
Yeah, what's our response? Who's going to say
we're going to
DEFCON 3? And so, you know, like from one of the old movies, we're going to flush the bombers.
Right.
Who's going to make that decision? Is it going to be Joe Biden, or is it going to be Kamala Harris, or is it going to be the Secretary of Defense? That could be serious.
Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Like I said, the world is a tinderbox right now in particular, and just seems like – and we have a person in the White House that even the Democrats have said doesn't need to be there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, he's not going to resign. So we're going to be 5 months without a president, and I just don't – nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
Right.
So. The fact that he has taken a bunch of vacations, and he goes to Delaware every weekend. He's been to the beach a lot since he handed the torch over to Kamala and said, here, you run. The fact that he keeps doing that, I think, proves your point that there is a system running the country.
Right.
Because he's just sitting there flipping them through a magazine.
Yeah.
The most powerful person on the planet is sitting there reading a magazine on the beach in Delaware.
All right, we'll set this up.
Right.
This is the latest gaffe.
Can you not? So you're against reading magazines on the beach?
Well, when you're the president and the world's on fire,
what do you need to be doing?
It's bad optics.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It is. All right, so I'm going to set this clip up, and I may violate the don't give away the clip, but I have to give it away for a little bit of context purposes. All right, so Biden had a press conference over the weekend, and he became confused and lost track of events during the press conference alongside India's prime minister. The incident came when Biden was supposed to introduce the prime minister in Wilmington, Delaware. Biden instead apparently becomes confused and appeared to think he was waiting for a question from reporters when all this played out in clip 11.
So I want to thank you all for being here. And now, who am I introducing next? Who's next?
Distinguished guests, the Prime Minister of the Republic of India.
Was that? Let me ask you this: was this a meeting between Biden and the Prime Minister of India only, or were there other people there?
It was those two at a kind of a press conference. I mean, there were people there, but Biden was clearly confused as to what the event was about and what he was supposed to do.
Yeah,
and it's the umpteenth time where he's like, I don't know where I'm going next. Or
well,
who's
the,
next? You said
yeah,
and the. The gap of silence,
yeah.
But at the second gap, Steve Jordahl had to cut that down.
We did,
because if there is silence on, I'm just explaining just some logistical issue to our listeners. If there is silence on air on American Family Radio for Brent Creeley, our producer, is it more than 4 seconds or is it six? 6 seconds. Alarms go off. In our building.
We're at DEFCON 3
so
at that point.
Yes, so our engineers can fix the problem.
Right.
So Steve Jordahl had to cut the silence down to 4 seconds so it didn't trigger an alarm.
It was worse than we heard.
It was worse than we heard, where he's just said, what's next? Who's next?
I'll post the link.
Where's my pudding?
Oh, my word. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the show. Tim, Ed, and Chris. So that was at where did he host that?
In Delaware, where Biden keeps going to have his staycations.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway,
point we're making.
It's just a bizarre situation that we effectively don't have a president of the United States and won't have for 5 or 6 months, and nobody says anything. It's like, Who cares? Nobody cares that we don't have, I'm just wondering, do we even need one?
Yeah. Going forward,
I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe we just skip the election.
I'd be careful with that kind of logic, Tim, and here's why.
Yeah.
On Friday afternoons around here,
yeah,
sometimes leadership,
yeah,
you know,
is not
flips
here.
Out. Okay, and flips out. Our departments can run themselves.
Yeah.
But if you start saying, well, then why do we need a president? Okay,
yeah,
that's
then,
you.
Then I look in the mirror. Right. Why do they even need me? Why am I here?
The newsroom was fully occupied on Friday afternoons.
What's my purpose?
But we do need you, Tim. That's my point.
Thank you. Yeah.
And we do need a president.
Yes.
And the Constitution requires one.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. You know, it's kind of funny to talk about now, but you have a big situation like you described with the world watching. And then we got a missing in action president.
Yeah.
Then it won't be funny.
Yeah. Well, and it flies in the face of his campaign promise. The thing he said often when he was in the basement back in 2020, I have a plan. Vote for me. I'll make everything better. And here, apparently his plan was to vacation on our dime.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're not going to be doing anything and there's no consequences to your, to even the, what would you say, the perception that is that he's never at the White House. He's always in Delaware or on the beach or whatever.
Okay, so Steve Jordahl texted me while we're discussing.
While we're doing our show.
Yes, and he said, we are currently at DEFCON 3. I didn't know we were up that high. Okay, it goes all the way from 5 is the lowest and 1 is the highest. And I looked it up, and it says the United States is currently at DEFCON 3. Due to the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and the rising tensions with China,
right.
The U.S. has only reached DEFCON 2 once, and that was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's how close we are to extremely serious defense. I think it's defense condition, I think maybe is what DEFCON stands for. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to have somebody at the helm.
Well, to give you an idea of what Biden is doing today, I'm looking at C-SPAN's list of events where they're detailing all the stuff that's going to happen today, and you can watch much of this. The one thing that mentions Biden today, he is celebrating Gotham FC championship team at the White House. Gotham FC professional women's soccer at the White House today to celebrate their 2023 NWSL championship win. That's what he's doing.
Oh, that's
today.
When they have – that's a pro soccer team, a women's pro soccer team who won the
He'll probably claim that he grew up playing women's soccer.
That was funny. That's funny, Chris.
It is funny. It's defense readiness condition. Shame on me for not remembering
what, DEFCON?
That. What, DEFCON? DEFCON is defense readiness condition.
So if we if the U.S. goes to 5, then that means there's a potential for nuclear.
Well, and
no, it goes up to 1.
I'm sorry. It starts, 5 being the lowest.
5 is the lowest state of readiness. DEFCON 2 is we are near nuclear war, and the Army has to be ready to do something in less than 6 hours. DEFCON 1, nuclear war is very soon or has already started.
All right, let me ask you this. Who makes the decision on what level we're at? Like the Joint Chiefs of Staff and that kind of thing?
I guess I think the president makes the call talking with the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Oh, it's the president?
Yeah, I think the president makes that call, which he says, all right, go to DEFCON 2.
That's even scarier because if you have a man who doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
And he's making a call like that.
Yeah. Or what if he says, launch?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back momentarily with more.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
My question about do we even need a president was rhetorical.
Sure.
So, obviously, we need a president. But we don't have one right now.
And you can't go down to Walmart and buy one.
No.
And insert it, you know, like you change out your phone charger.
Also, you have a president who's the lamest of ducks because he's basically, I'm talking about Joe Biden, he's basically president in name only. Mm-hmm. So... There's little or no accountability for his decisions.
Right.
Quite frankly. Maybe they reflect on Kamala Harris to a degree. I don't know.
And I'll just say this, and I'm not trying to defend Joe Biden, whose policies are reprehensible. Okay, I'm talking about like on pro-life, on abortion, and so I don't want to go down the laundry list. But I will say this, once you've been done dirty, like Joe Biden has,
By the Democrats,
then why not just go on vacation? I mean,
I know there's no downside. I mean,
the guy was stabbed in the back by his own party after they defended him all this time, and said, "Oh, he's sharp as a tack, and he's got more
energy than all of us."
Yes, he's got more energy. I've never seen him more lucid. I mean, just one lie after
another. We're talking about gaslighting with a capital G.
Yes.
By the media and Democrats.
Yes, both. Then all of a sudden they go, you know, one bad debate performance, and it was a humdinger
right.
In terms of bad debate performances. But one, you know, he's probably going, look, there's one bad night.
Right.
What happened to all my friends?
Right. All right, next story.
Well, one of the things that this president and those to follow is going to have to deal with.
We have those to follow.
What's that?
If we have those.
If we have
those. I just want to be a little gloom and doom. On my
if the Lord tarries and we have presidents beyond Joe Biden.
The Lord's washed his hands of this one. just want you to know, Chris.
Right.
If you read the Bible, you'll see that.
Very true.
We are in serious trouble.
Very true. So the situation involving Israel is something that this president is going to have to be involved with. You can't just sit on a beach because eventually this stuff is going to spill over into other, I hope not, but other countries beyond maybe even Iran, which we do know is involved with attacks on Israel. I bring this up because, and I'll share this link in a second, Tim found it earlier today, 100 killed as Israel strikes 300 Hezbollah targets in Lebanon in massive barrage while threat of all-out war looms. That's why I'm saying this president and others are going to have to pay attention to these kinds of things because Israel's in many, they're fighting on many fronts, and Hezbollah is kind of the one that people are following now, but you still have the offensive in Gaza against Hamas.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to take a, this is going to sound doom and gloom, but it's really not. It's more an optimistic view of the Middle East situation. And, of course, the two hot spots in the world that everybody watches is Ukraine and Russia, and will Russia use a nuclear weapon, as you pointed out earlier, Ed. And then we got Israel versus Iran, basically, but they're proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas.
Right.
Okay, so Israel has taken a posture, in my opinion, that I think the evidence with what's happened in Gaza and now what's happening with Hezbollah in Lebanon, which is to their north, Israel, is they're going to do whatever it takes to crush their enemy. And whatever the world thinks of them, they don't care.
Right.
They don't care. And I think that's freeing to Israel, because Israel's always been a little bit concerned, had to be, about what the U.S. thought, about what European allies, thought, because they didn't want to get in bad relationships with countries that had always been their friends, because they already have enough enemies.
Right.
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 But I think now they've taken the approach since October, and we're coming up on the anniversary of October the 7th. they've taken the approach. We're going for the jugular of Hamas and Hezbollah, and because they, as they've said, they have towns and communities on the northern border,
right,
of Israel that have been evacuated.
Yes.
For months, and people can't go back to their homes. They can't go back to their schools and their normal routines of life, because they're still, having to because of what's happening on the border between Lebanon and Israel of Hezbollah. And now Israel, especially last week, with those cell phone explosions that they—
The pagers.
Wow. Huh? Have you ever heard of anything quite like
no.
that?
No. No, listen, we were joking around here. Not that people getting hurt or dying is a joke, but we were joking at the technological expertise mm-hmm. of the Israelis. And some of us were saying, it might have been Steve Jordahl. He said, I heard that members of Hezbollah are checking their toasters. They won't yeah. use their toasters. Obviously,
yeah.
that was just tongue in cheek. But the pagers and then the walkie talkies.
And back to back days.
Back to back. And
yeah. I just think Israel is not going, okay, let's see, Hezbollah fired at us today. We're going to fire one back at them. Well, I think Israel's attitude is Hezbollah fires one at us. We're going to fire 100 at them.
Yeah.
And we're going to kill them wherever we can find them. I'm talking about the Hezbollah. What do you call them?
Well, they're terrorists. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're basically an army in a sense.
Right, inside Lebanon.
Inside Lebanon. I didn't realize this, but the population of Lebanon received more than 80,000 suspected Israeli call attempts asking people to evacuate the area. So for people who say, well, the IDF is engaged in genocide. Mm-hmm. If you're engaged in genocide, why do you alert people that missiles are coming and you better evacuate?
Yeah.
They're trying to decrease the number of innocents who die.
If Israel is engaged in genocide, why are there millions of people that are Arab in the Middle East walking around freely today?
Yeah.
Right.
If the Israelis were genuinely involved in genocide, which is, by the way, what Hamas and Hezbollah advocate for,
yes,
that is wiping out people because they're Jews, the Israelis would be, say, if they were truly involved in genocide, that is the Israelis, then they would be for wiping out Arabs everywhere or Muslims everywhere. That's not what they advocate. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything like that. They're going after a terrorist, by the way, an internationally recognized terrorist organization, talking
yes.
about Hamas. All right, next story, Chris.
Well, let's travel from Lebanon over to something that occurred over the weekend in Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama. A mass shooting outside a popular Alabama bar left at least 4 people dead and more than a dozen others injured in what police have described a possible murder-for-hire hit job. This occurred in the Five Point South Entertainment District in Birmingham, so not far from venues such as like the BJCC, the Alabama Theater, various places there if you've ever had an opportunity to visit Birmingham. I myself used to live not very far from where the shooting occurred. I've eaten at various restaurants in this area.
It's a very popular place for people, and generally safe.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, the Five Points area there in Birmingham. That's when I was stunned to see that. But this wasn't gangs or anything. This was somebody that was looking, but they had an automatic weapon, right?
That's why several
people died, and how many people injured?
Dozen others injured. I can't say it wasn't gang related. I mean, it could have been a gang that hired somebody else.
Yeah. But I mean, when you say hire, what do you call
murder
it?
Murder for hire, hit job.
Somebody was looking for somebody. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a random.
Yeah.
Wasn't like a robbery gone wrong or something like that.
That's what the police are saying? Correct. Three of the victims were pronounced dead at the scene after they were found on a sidewalk with gunshot wounds.
It was outside a bar, some kind of bar.
Mm-hmm. It says police said about, this is a New York Post story, about 100 shell casings have been recovered from the scene.
Okay, so what kind of weapon is that?
Well,
if it's one weapon.
I don't think it's one weapon. I think they said that several got out of a vehicle. Am I right with that?
Yeah, some of the gunfire was, quote, fully automatic. One investigator is quoted as saying, the mayor of Birmingham, Randall Woodfin, says the main focus now is tracking down the suspects.
Oh, they didn't catch them.
This is multiple shooters were spotted jumping out of a vehicle, opening fire, then fleeing.
Okay.
In Birmingham, I will say this. Birmingham, 20 years ago, they were in the news for having well over 100 homicides in a year. They were on that list you never want to be on of most dangerous places, you know, in America in terms of murders and stuff like that. And they have taken great steps in the last year, 15 years, to really kind of reduce that and redo parts of town.
Allison, of course, stayed over there in downtown Birmingham for 5 weeks at a loft, and 5 or 6 weeks, whatever it was, when she was over there for her stem cell replacement. Many people listening remember that when I was doing the show from over there. We felt perfectly safe walking around at night in downtown Birmingham. It was, I just think if this kind of thing went on all the time, they're like in most big cities, and I would qualify Birmingham as a big city in the sense that it's over 1 million people. Mm. I think it's 1.2, 1.3 million people. I would say that's a big city.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you don't go to certain parts of town.
Right.
Right.
And that's in every town USA. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think look at whether a city has a reputation of being one of violence, high violence, or crime, is how far out does that go? How far out do you say, just don't go to Chicago, period?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
There are towns that are developing that kind of reputation right now, and Birmingham's not one of them, I don't think. But that's not good, because that is the Five Points area in Birmingham is like the place you might think in a big city where it's trendy and there's restaurants and shopping and people walk around, no fear of violence, and then this kind of thing happens. But this was if you got multiple gunmen getting out of a car, that's something like out of a mafia movie,
right?
Or something like that. So, and how many casings did you?
100. They've recovered 100 so far.
So
that's a lot of automatic weapons.
Like they're just trying to shoot anybody around. This was a bar. What I read was it was in front of a bar. I don't know if that had anything to do with a bar where they do
popular Alabama bar.
Yeah. So, anyway. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR, Tim, Ed, and Chris. We got other news stories we will get to, but we have our friend Stephen McDowell joining us from Virginia. Stephen is president of the Providence Foundation, and he goes on with us on our tours of Washington, D.C., and Colonial Williamsburg, and we've been doing that together for years. Stephen's on from time to time. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Tim, Ed, and Chris. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Doing well. I need to call you on Monday because Tuesday's golf morning, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Nothing, well, that's right. Well,
nothing comes between a man and his tee time.
Now, I am old enough where I can go do that. I never could do that when I was younger.
Oh, yeah. You mean have a scheduled weekly tea time with your buddies? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I didn't have time or the money to do it, but now I do.
Otherwise, you'd have made the tour, you know? If you'd only been able to practice more when you had
that was the only thing holding them back.
Four kids at home and trying to make the house note. That kind of deters your practice time. All right. So, Stephen, I wanted to have you on because we are just been announcing that we're going to do a special. I say special because we've never done it before. Tour of the Boston, Massachusetts area and all the rich history there. Would you say, just looking at our country, in terms of early American history, that those first 50 years or so, maybe prior to 1776 and after that, would you say there's Virginia and then Philadelphia area, maybe you would include New York in that, but then the Boston area, those are the places that have the most history, aren't they, in terms of early American history?
Yeah, without a doubt. The Boston area, when you south of Boston is Plymouth. That's, of course, where the Pilgrims came and planted the seed of the American Republic not long after Jamestown. But when you talk about a covenant group of Christians, those people who had a heart and desire for the Lord and came to worship him freely, we see that taking root in Plymouth with the Pilgrims. And the Puritans came over in mass in 1630, 1,000 of them, to set up a city set upon a hill. So we're going to learn all of that story, the very early. And then for the next 150 years, especially during the American Revolution, when the events began to take place, from the Boston Tea Party and the Boston Massacre to those patriots up in the Boston area resisting when the king was violating their rights and liberties, all this story is told from the sites that we're going to see and visit those number of days next fall. So it's really going to be lots of fun, and we're going to, of course, highlight God's hand in our history, and we'll see it everywhere. We've seen it in the tours that we've done in many years past here in Virginia and D.C., but we see it in an especially strong and deep way in all these events that took place up in that Massachusetts Bay Area.
Okay, so I'll just tell people about the tour. Again, we're only going to take like 55 people, so we're not going to take, you know, because it's our maiden voyage, so to speak. But if you will go to our website and then go, well, I'll tell you the website. We changed the name of it. So the wildmangroup.com. You can go to spiritualheritagetours.com. It'll still redirect you there.
Yeah.
Spiritualheritagetours.com and click on the Boston tab. And that way you will see all the information, the itinerary, the cost, everything. But we're going in October. Again, not next month, but a year from now. But we're already letting people know about it because it'll fill up pretty quick. But just click on the Boston tab and you will see the dates. It's October 12th through the 17th. And the itinerary and everything, cost and everything is there at the website. But let me ask you this, Stephen. We're going to go to Boston. We're doing the Freedom Trail. What is the Freedom Trail exactly?
Well, the Freedom Trail is literally a walking trail through downtown Boston from the Boston Common, and it goes by all the way to Bunker Hill. And it goes by famous historic sites like the Old North Church, where the patriots gathered to discuss what are we going to do about the tea that the king is trying to make us buy, to famous burying grounds where the early patriots like John Hancock and others are buried there, and Paul Revere's home. We all have heard of Paul Revere when he rode off in the night to warn the settlers at Lexington Concord. The British are coming to famous churches, to see Old Ironsides, which is one of the earliest commissioned ships that still commissioned today, to Bunker Hill. So through this trail, it's about 2 miles long, we're going to walk part of it and stop at each of these sites and learn the story of men and events that were integral in giving birth to America. So that's going to be a lot of fun as we walk down there and learn this story and of our early history.
One other question. Name the three most famous people having to do with our early American history who lived in the Boston area.
Well, everybody's heard of John Hancock because he was the president of the Continental Congress. And when he signed the Declaration, he signed it in large letters. That's where we get put your hand, Hancock here. So he lived there. He's buried there. Samuel Adams, the father of the American Revolution, very devout Christian. He was one of the earliest voices that began to speak up to resist the tyrannical action of the king and parliament. He's there. The Adams, their cousins, John Adams, who's our second president, his son John Quincy Adams, we're going to visit their homes where Abigail lived. They're in the Boston area as well. I think most everyone has heard of them. But really early on, you've got men like William Bradford, the governor of the Pilgrims. We're going to learn about him when we go and visit Plymouth, Massachusetts. And Cotton Mather, a lot of people may not have heard of him, but he wrote a very famous book, The History of the 1600s, compiling many miraculous things that God has done, the magnificent works of Christ in America. So his father, Increase Mather, was also well known. So those are some of the names I mentioned, the Adams and the Hancocks, but then we're going to learn a lot about many pastors and their role in the foundation of America as well.
All right. So if you are interested in our October 2025 tour of Boston and Plymouth Rock and also Concord and Lexington and just that whole area, we're going to take a few folks on that trip. Just go to our website, spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com, or Wildman, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, group.com, wildmangroup.com. And it'll be in October, so we did those dates because some folks might want to go before or after our tour and visit New England, other parts of New England.
It's a beautiful time of the year to do that.
Because of the foliage, right. Which is a lot of people want to see that at least once in their life who haven't, the New England, Vermont, Maine, Massachusetts area. All right, Stephen, thanks so much, and it was good to see you again. And we just want to encourage people to visit your website as well. What is there for people?
At providencefoundation.com, we have lots of articles and videos that you can watch that will educate you about God's hand in our history, and you can order resources and books from us as well at providencefoundation.com.
Now, I tell you what, we'll schedule. I don't want to rush this interview. You got a new video coming out about education in America, so we'll do that next week. How about that?
That would be great. People can see the trailer at educatedforliberty.com.
Educatedforliberty.com. What's the video about?
Well, it is about just that the reason we were the most free nation in history is because we were educated in a biblical worldview. Biblical education prepared the character and worldview of the citizens so they knew how to live in liberty. And in order to maintain and restore that liberty, we need that same kind of education today. And that's what the film talks about.
Okay. We'll have him on next week to talk more in depth about that. All right. Take care. See ya.
Okay. Great talking to you.
Okay. That's Stephen McDowell. It's a walking historical encyclopedia.
Yeah. I think that would be fascinating, folks. If you're listening and maybe you've been on a spiritual heritage tour or two with Tim and Stephen McDowell, but this going forward will be a real favorite.
The Boston?
Yeah.
Boston, and you get a lot of clam chowder and lobster. A
lot of clam chowder, some lobster, maybe a couple lobster rolls.
The phonetic pronunciation of chowder for people who live there is C-H-O-W-A.
Yes, chowder.
And lobster is L-O-B-S-T-A, right?
Yes, that is correct. And listen, Dunkin' Donuts originated in the
every other store up there is a Dunkin'.
It's time to make the donuts.
It's originated as a regional.
Well, you know, Benjamin Franklin founded Dunkin'. A lot of people
did he really?
No, he said America runs on Dunkin'.
A lot of people don't know that, huh? But he invented so many things. And one of the last ones that he invented was Dunkin' Donuts.
It was Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. I did see on the schedule, I went to the website that you talked about, and you get to go to, I think, Faneuil Hall, which was a market in the Boston area. But now it's, like, filled with stalls and great little places to get some food. So you'll go there to visit.
I've never been. My wife has been, but I've never had the opportunity.
Boston is a really interesting, and it's a beautiful, New England's beautiful, and its beaches are different than folks who are used to maybe the Gulf Coast down here or Florida. It's very unique.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short time out. Chris, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts,
Absolutely.
Ed and I do, for your contributions this hour.
If the Lord tarries, I'll be back tomorrow if you'll have me.
Okay.
They be many. What'd you say, Ed?
He says it.
If you say so.
If I ask Chris, Whitty, you got lunch plans? He said, well, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to Subway.
Okay, so Chris, you're going to get the award for using the word tarry more than, more than anybody
else. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to stow something for you beyond luggage.
Yes, thank you.
Stow something.
Good one. We shall return with more with Steve Paisley Jordahl in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.